satisfy you.
Welcome to Knockcast, episode 215. Give him the D.
She wants the D.
Oh, yeah.
I want the V.
Rene Descartes. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're Knockcast. Yay! Oh, let me tell you, it's been a good day.
I sometimes wonder if that rates a yay, but okay.
Well, we have enough people to give us enough emails each week, so that's what matters.
Yeah. Yay, dot, dot, dot.
Hey, at least this week's topic got a lot of answers.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful.
We're like drowning in email here. It's great.
And this week's topic came courtesy of Shiva, so.
Yay, I'm useful.
Yay.
My battle cry of yay, I'm useful.
It's been a good day, though.
Now you said that, so.
Well, for reasons. Well, first of all, I've had a whole bunch of cardiologist visits in the last little bit. And I've found out that my heart is perfectly normal.
Yay!
Yay, indeed. Considering the severity of my sleep apnea that was untreated for several years, my sleep doc was actually rather concerned that I had given myself heart damage by not getting it treated soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that I didn't have insurance during the time, but, you know. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And this evening we went and had our sort of episode 200 anniversary dinner.
We're a bit late.
A little bit late. But we had some people donate some money for our 200th episode anniversary.
Which was very kind.
Which is very nice. And our fifth year anniversary. Which was also very nice.
So apparently our first fifth year anniversary is steak. Not silver or paper. No, it's steak.
It's steak. So we went to
it's
Outback.
It's not.
We went to Outback and purchased steak.
And it was good.
Yes.
And cheesecake for dessert.
Yep. Oh, God. Fuzz, just stop.
You're saying words.
Okay.
It was not Australian.
Cheesecake.
No, it was Australian, it would kill you.
I know. And I'm doing a terrible rendition.
Just stop.
I'm flashing back. Stop.
Gonna hump
mostly to my Aussie ex who used to try and do texts in it. It was like, what the?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yee-haw.
You all come back now. Yeah. Ye here.
Also, it's been a good week for us queer-mosexuals out there.
Yes.
Uruguay in South America and France in France. You know where France is in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have voted to allow them dirty faggots to read. To read!
I don't know why that was so funny to me. Allow them dirty faggots to read.
What the hell?
What the fuck?
Are you just... You're mixing up civil rights I didn't even know people didn't have.
I'm sorry. The fact that you're literate is a treasonous crime. No, I...
Numbers? Those are forbidden in Ponyville.
Are you a robot? So... I meant to say marriage, which is a slightly more important fundamental right that is granted by the state.
Are you okay, Sovereign?
Sorry, you just totally me out on that. That's hilarious.
Read?
This just in. Gays are not allowed to read. That'll prevent them from doing lawsuits and getting educations.
That's right. They're too busy butt-fucking.
They're not allowed to read.
Which is silly when you think about it, because when you're topping someone, you can totally slap a book down on that guy's back.
Read a
you
book.
Know?
Read a book. So there's your...
Well, now that gays can read, I hope to be selling more books.
Now there's my, you know, vocal faux pas. For the week.
Only one.
So far.
You have not yet met quota. Nor have I.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get to it soon enough. God. And yeah, America, are you even fucking trying?
Yeah,
actually, Delaware is trying. They introduced a marriage bill there,
and cool.
The governor's like, "Pass that shit and I'll sign it, motherfuckers."
Awesome.
Like, don't you know I love all God's bitches?
Bitches get scritches.
Yeah. And you can read. State of Delaware introduces homosexual literacy bill.
This is why foxes should be sucking and not heard.
Yes, I should have a cock in my mouth to keep me from talking. Let me just step out of the room for a minute. I gotta go get something.
Go gargle with cock.
Bouncing your tonsils around.
I've got a neat trick I can show you.
I'm sorry, you guys. I've still got a touch of a cold.
Don't share with us.
No, it's that leftover cough I've had. It's not.
It's always the cough that like drags on for fucking weeks.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you're not sick, but you sound like you could.
But it sounds horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I got sick earlier in the year, it was like I didn't know whether I got it from FC, Fiesta, or work, because like at work, I would hear coughing from different parts of the office. Like every 15 minutes, someone else would be coughing horribly. Yeah. There's some shit been going around this year of it.
Well, so. Yeah, it's been a pretty good week.
Yeah.
All told.
This hadn't been too bad. I took 2 days off of my day job this week in order to work on For Planet stuff, so which is nice.
You're preparing for that homosexual literacy bill in Texas.
That's right, yeah. Really ramp it up sales of those gay books. Yep.
Well, because, you know, if you can't read, it's very hard to learn how to do butt sex.
Step one. That's why they rely on us to tell them. Because as long as you can have someone else install iTunes for you, then you can listen to podcasts to learn how to do everything else.
Yeah. We're helping.
Yeah. Oh, so earlier in the week, I proved that if you bitch and bitch and keep bitching, you can accomplish anything.
Oh, what happened?
So a couple months ago, my eyeglasses just snapped in half on the way to work, and I know I told you guys that.
Yep.
And I'd gotten to LensCrafters because it was like 2 weeks after their 1 year anniversary, and even though I'd paid for the 1 year warranty on it, they were like, "Yeah, we're not going to do anything for you." And I thought that was fucked. And I don't know why I didn't push it at the time, but I kind of let it go, and I've been wearing my scratched up old ones for the last couple months. Well, the other day, LensCrafters had the balls to call me up and say, "Hey, it's been about a year since you were last here, and you need to come in for an eye test and, you know, get an updated pair of glasses and stuff like that." And that just kind of set me off, because I was like, "Oh, I got something to talk to you about." So I explained the situation to the lady that called. I explained it to her manager, who's like the assistant manager, and they were still offering me the same bullshit stuff. Like, "Well, you can have the sale that's currently on now and buy a whole new pair of glasses." I was like, "Then you're not giving me anything for my inconvenience here and my broken glasses."
I mean, 1 week is really...
Yeah, it was really dumb. But so I bitched on Twitter, and I bitched enough on the phone to this assistant manager that he kicked it up to the store manager. And the store manager called me back, and she was like, "Well, this is a one-time thing, but, you know, I can override it, and we'll go ahead and replace the glasses for you." And I was like, "Okay, cool." Originally, I just wanted new pair of frames identical to the old ones, because I figured they're not going to give me a whole new set of things. But that would have kept the lens that still had a little scratch on it. But it turns out those frames are discontinued. So they actually gave me a whole new pair of glasses. which is pretty awesome. And I had gone in there, and they told me it'd be 7 to 10 days before they got in. They actually only took 3 days. So, long story short, I have a new pair of glasses to replace the ones that snapped in two a couple months back. And, you know, if at first they tell you no, keep trying.
Keep pushing.
Call their corporate number or email their social media customer service. And, you know, you might get somewhere. 'Cause these big companies, they may or may not care about one individual customer. But sometimes you can...
If you're noisy.
Sometimes if you're noisy. And, I mean, it, frankly, I thought I had a good point. You know, 2 weeks after their 1 year is up... It's like, come on, you can't tell me that there wasn't something wrong with this pair of frames, that that it's normal for them to just snap in half, you know, at 12 and a half months. So, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. That would be true. For some reason, Adam Neve's website just not working on my pad.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, not much coming up here. I'm not doing a con until Anthrocon, July 4th weekend, so I'm pretty much off for this quarter. I want to mention this on the show, and I'd mentioned to you guys that it looks like I'm adding, well, it looks like, I've already registered, I am adding another convention to my rotation this year. It is a first-year con called Central Plains Fur Con. It is in Wichita, Kansas, the first week of October. Because I looked on Google Maps and I was like, huh,
Wichita
is only a 5 hour drive straight up 35. I mean, it's a straight shot. It's pretty easy to get there. And being a first year con, they probably could use some help getting the word out. They're fairly inexpensive as far as the dealer's tables and stuff like that. So I registered. I got two tables. A couple of other friends. I've got a couple of people thinking about it. Keo is pretty much leaning towards going also, because it's like...
It's close.
Yeah, it's fairly close. It's so close, in fact, that if I didn't get that Monday off, like if I don't have the time off by that point in the year, then fuck it. I can break down my tables at the end of Sunday, load up my car, and probably drive home Sunday night and go to work on Monday.
You might get back a little late, but not tons late.
Yeah. You know, because it's really not far at all. So, you know, that's just kind of a hey shout out to any folks in or around the Wichita, Kansas area or can get there. There's a new con starting there. And, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And a couple other Dallas locals may give it a shot, too. So the other new con I heard about is there's a it's called Anthrocon, which is a working name. They may change it. And that is in Salt Lake City, Utah. And that is, oh, God, I can't remember when it is. It's like September, October, I think. But some folks I know are running it. Damon Husky and a lot of those guys from out there. I know a lot of, I actually know quite a few Utah furries, funny enough. But some of those folks listen to our show and everything like that. So I was going to give them a shout out there. Let me do a search for their con here. Yeah, it's unthrocon.org. Oh, that's right. It's Labor Day weekend. It's the 30th of August.
To the same weekend as MFM?
The 1st of September. So it's the same weekend as MFM and Worldcon. So I'll be at Worldcon this year, so I won't be able to go to this one. But, hey, if you're, you know, in or around Salt Lake City, there is going to finally be a furry convention there. So
that's cool.
There you go. Guys, awesome. Got anything else of interest in the furry community pop up lately?
No, things have been kind of quiet.
I mean, I've heard like there was maybe a con that like got canceled or something, but I haven't paid enough attention.
Yeah, there was going to be a different convention in Salt Lake City, which I'm sorry, don't mean to be critical, had a terrible acronym. It was like Western Anthropomorphic Rendezvous. Rendezvous was the name of it. So the acronym was WAR. W-A-R.
And I'm going to war.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that ain't furry, yo. You know, it just doesn't seem to kind of fit in with the generally happy, fun-filled kind of. Yeah, that was just my critique of the name. But yeah, so that one's not happening. So if you were planning to go to that, they did update their website that they're not happening. I don't know if any other conventions have been canceled. I haven't heard of anything. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, there's a fuck ton of cons, man. Which is cool. I was actually running out of, I was losing track of them after a while, you know?
Yeah, well, oh no, there's too many furry cons. Ooh.
No such thing. Ah.
I need more places to sell.
Well, more places to sell within driving distance.
Yes.
What the fuck, Tumblr?
What's Tumblr doing? Is it back talking?
Well, it's crashing the browser on the...
on the touchpad?
Yeah. So I click on an image to, like, zoom in, and it actually shrinks it.
Wow, that's the opposite of good.
That's...
Yeah.
I
see this, and I click it, and it shrinks. It's like, that's the opposite. I mean, how can I look at this lovingly rendered, you know, porn if it's...
Mm-hmm.
So, disappointed sigh.
I'm going to go ahead and read an email.
Okay.
And I'm going to start off with this one that is a clarification so that we understand. This is from our Irish bat. A wee bit of clarification. Hello, guys and girl. Thought it best to clarify in my last emails. My mate's birthday is around June 20th, and that's when I want to take him to a con. We have been in a long-distance relationship for nearly 3 years, and I'll be moving from Texas to California to be with him in early June. Furry Fiesta sounds pretty cool, and we may fly back to Texas around my birthday to give it a try. So, this was because we were talking up, yeah, dude, totally come to Furry Fiesta!
We also didn't know what it was to suggest cons.
So. Right, yeah, but he's actually moving to California, and his mate's birthday is in June, so...
Okay, so that helps.
What's funny is June 20th used to be the date for Anthrocon, but Anthrocon is July 4th weekend this year. So, I mean, if you guys want to go to, like, the Mecca Furry Cons, you will be living on the opposite side of the country by then. But, you know, plane flight, whatevs. Actually, in early June, usually first or second weekend in June, if you're going to be in Southern California, Califer is out there, and that's around that time. Anyway, let me finish off the email there. Thanks, Bunches, Rand the Bat. P.S. Is it a good idea to propose marriage at a fur con? P.P.S. Overheard Shiva wanted me to come spread my accent over you guys. Would love to. So, is it a good idea to propose manage? I guess that's if it's a gay relationship, it's manage. marriage at a fur con. I've seen it done before. Don't know if it's a good idea or not. What do you guys think?
You might as well.
You know, it's no better or worse. I mean, if it's important to both of you.
And it's a way to get your friends around to witness.
And
get a witness?
If you do it right and have an agreement beforehand instead of just randomly popping it in, you can do it during, like, something major and have the entire con cheer for
How
you.
How many did we have at Fiesta this year? Like, four?
Really?
Yeah.
Were they all during opening or closing ceremonies?
No, some other things.
There was there was one during closing, but that was...
What, like one during opening?
That was big and gay. Oh, man.
What was big and gay about it?
There was two dudes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, I was being silly.
Get gay married to me?
Oh, man.
We'll have to go to Uruguay.
Yep. Where you're a gay.
So Uruguay, more like Uruguay.
So let's see, which one was that?
It was kind of in the middle. I've already archived.
Okay, so I'm gonna read an email.
So are we just going in?
I'm gonna start from the bottom.
Like you're a fox. Long distance brofist.
Let's see, someone wants off-air help.
We just fisted with Savern in between us.
Oh, man.
Like a sock puppet.
Wait a minute. This guy sent his
He's like a goddamn Chinese finger puppet, but for fists.
No. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to go back.
Simon was like...
He just ignores the abuse now. Just rolls off of him like come off a fox's back.
If it's like rolling off his back, you're doing it wrong.
It's like I'm a duck.
Hey, you know what duck rhymes with? Fuck. Exactly. Now all pick right, an email.
So seeking advice, is this too good to be true?
Okay.
Hi, I'm a 26-year-old bisexual male, but still strongly prefer females sexually. I have some questions. There is a 30-year-old bi male that I met on Omegle, who I've been chatting almost daily with on Skype for nearly a year since. He wants to become my full-time slave.
Nope, bad idea.
I entertain the idea.
Then I break my iPad over my knee and just walk out.
That'd be a terrible idea. At first, I entertained the idea, knowing that he was likely just a troll trying to get my hopes up and offering to grant all of my perverse sexual fantasies about having an obedient pet, which I've fallen for before with small consequences, being stood up on Skype dates or showing concern for someone who makes up fiction problems, etc. But we've been talking so long now, and he made some serious offers to come to my country, which is on the opposite hemisphere.
Hmm.
He said that he's willing to make sure there's no out-of-pocket expense for me and plans to pay for the trip and live with me forever. I've had to tell him that I'm not ready for him for a few reasons. First of all, I've recently spiraled into homelessness and alcoholism. Due to severe depression, I'm not living with my mom again until I manage to get my life back on track. So I need to wait until I have my own place to live. Second concern is that things he offers seem good to be true and hard to believe that anyone wants to live the kind of life he wants to live with me. He wants to be treated worse than a common household pet, kept in a cage whenever I'm not having him attached to my groin, being used as a urinal, being fed nothing but worms, bugs, maybe dog food at best, being tied up and tortured. I find this all a huge turn-on, so I'm happy to oblige, but I find it hard to take him seriously. Each time I talk to him, his requests get more and more extreme and hard to imagine anyone wanting, such as waterboarding, scat-eating, and piercings used as hooks for chains. Personally, I know that scat-eating is dangerous, and I told him I probably wouldn't grant that.
No. I will piss on you, but I will not shit in your mouth. I have standards.
Damn. Anyways, I guess my question is, do I think this guy is being serious? Is it possible for anyone to crave that much humiliation and subservience? I also wonder how legal this kind of relationship is. There's also the issue of him being an illegal immigrant. If he comes here, the only solution I can think of is the marriage. Would it be possible to have a secular private wedding just so he can get a green card? Then I have to worry about hiding him from the police and stuff. Also, I don't want our friends and family to know about this relationship, so yeah. Is this something that can legally happen mostly in secret? Thanks, Anon. P.S. I recently found this podcast thanks to Grand Catalog Cavalcade. I'm a brony furry, particularly the feral kind, which is why it's my ultimate kink to have a partner I can treat like a wild animal, and you can bet I'll be having him wear a ponytail and hooves. Keep this letter anonymous if read on the show. Well, thanks, Bob McCockmonger. No.
Okay, there's several... several.
It's like the United Nations of red flags.
Let's start with the biggest hurdle of legal. If it depends on, are you even in a country where you can get gay married? Because
if you get gay married in the U.S.
Because he's using the term green card. Green card is a U.S. term. And even if you live in states like Mass and such that allow gay marriage, it does not apply to immigration laws. Mm-hmm. And if you come here and you get caught as an illegal immigrant, getting deported is very sudden and very abrupt, and then you're barred from the country for 10 years.
Based on the fact that he spelled mom the British European way, I'm going to assume that he's not in America.
Yeah, well, still. Make sure that you can even do that in your country.
Yeah.
Two, if you're going to get married, that's going to be up to whatever. I mean, you can always go to, like, the Office of Marriage and everything else and whatever the equivalent is in your country and just have a courtroom wedding. I mean,
go to justice of the peace or something.
Or the equivalent in the country and just get it done. That doesn't have to be private. I mean, marriage is marriage. As far as the everything else.
Fucked up slave bits.
The legalness of that really depends on how much is unwilling on his part and how much is he willing to pay at being this. If basically, whenever you start actually holding him against his will and you start actually torturing him, then it's not legal. So long as he's a consenting adult,
Well, even then, I mean,
yeah,
you look get looked at the wrong way, and it's holy shit, this guy's keeping this person prisoner. Enjoy your prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, you wouldn't be able to keep this a secret from your parents or family. That's for damn certain. And it doesn't sound like you're in a position right now for a relationship anyway.
Actually,
slaved up or not.
Yeah, even if this wasn't a slaved up relationship, I would say guy moving to the opposite side of the planet on his dime to live with you, even though you've never even met, that alone is dubious. So, yeah, I'm going to say this probably ain't going to happen, or that you at least shouldn't let it happen until you guys meet without him bringing the moving truck with him.
Yeah.
You know? As for the, you know, the master pet thing, this is like the nightmare scenario that I always think is a master pet relationship, and then have people tell me that, nah, it's only fucked up people that take it to that degree. So, you may be fucked up. I Savage just looking at me like, wow, yeah. Your psychoanalyzing is really shitty.
No, I'm agreeing that he's kind of
okay.
Up.
Either he's trolling you or you're trolling us.
Somebody's trolling somebody.
And
so you're saying you're calling bullshit?
I'm kind of calling bullshit because
somebody here.
These are all ideas that are only ever good in fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you, if by some miracle you got this guy to come over here, the first time you try to restrain him by running a hook through his skin, that's going to be fucking game over right there.
He's going to be like, oh shit, this stuff actually hurts.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, I could do anything to you in a type session. You know, I could cut your balls off and you'll still be perfectly fine. But in real life, oh my god, there's so much blood!
Yes, mm-hmm. It's like, run hooks through each other in Second Life.
Yeah.
Or something.
Hell, you don't even have to do that. You just walk close to each other, your bodies will merge through each other in Second Life.
Oh, in clipping?
Yeah.
And then you spawn you just see your massive penis.
And you just see the cock coming out of their chest, like, ah! Anyway, back on to First Life. I mean, in
Shiggy Diggy.
Eating worms and stuff like that, I'm not a medical professional, but that shit don't sound too healthy. It may be healthier than typically eat, but I don't
this
know.
This is one of those, are they being serious or are they trying to get something, like sound clips of us saying something awful?
Well, even crazy emails, it's like, we can at least sort of discuss some of it.
Yeah.
Rationally, and then other parts of like, yeah, I've heard of people being kept in a cage, but
yeah,
it's not like
and hooks through piercings that just pulls the piercing out. Enjoy having like torn up nipples and shit.
No, actually, you can get suspension. Particular type of suspension piercings in your back that you can be hung from like a slab of meat,
but it's very particular.
Yeah, I mean,
and that was a full body shudder from Savage.
If this is for real, ask this guy if he's got the fucking work done yet, because that takes a professional piercer
and time to heal.
Some fucking time to do and time to heal before you can actually use it. And he better be thin, because I wouldn't trust a lump of my skin to hold up my weight through like a half dozen pierced loops.
Just like, I have to get my entire torso pierced. I got my torso pierced so I can be suspended.
You know what?
I'm having problems suspending my disbelief right here. So.
Yeah. Suspend my body? I can't even suspend my disbelief. Ah. You know what is, it's kind of cool looking, but also kind of horrifying, are the piercings that are a corset.
I like those.
They're kind of cool, but kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like kind of a both minds like that. Like, I would never do it, but it does look kind of neat.
Yeah. I like them a lot. It's just,
it's like, it's kind of neat in like a body horror kind of thing, like you'd expect to see in a movie like The Cell or something.
I saw this one where a woman had gotten labia piercings all up and down, and then over the vagina itself had put like a little piece of leather that had a zipper. So it was like the labial piercings and then the little zipper over the vaginal opening. So it was just zipped closed.
So you had to unzip her to...
Yeah, I'm like...
That's funny.
Oh, man. Fucking internet. You'll see some shit if you're not careful.
Wow.
Sometimes even if you are careful, to be fair.
Yeah.
So that was a fucked up email. Hey, Shiva, read an email.
If I must.
Yeah. Archived.
Let's see. That's just... I'm really wondering who's trolling who.
Who trolls the trolls?
Let's see.
Just start from the bottom.
Here we go. Greetings, Nutcast. I first want to say I've just subscribed to the podcast and only up to episode 15, so if you've already had someone ask this, I will hopefully get there soon.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, on to what I need help with. I'm having a gender conflict. I'm male, but my persona is female. I feel more happy as a female, but all the people who know me don't know this, don't even know I'm a furry. So as I said, I'm very conflicted. I feel more happy with myself as female, and I even feel the need to become one. But there is a problem that I have a terrible fear of blood needles. Any advice would be gratefully helpful. Don the Shy Fox.
Blood and needles, not blood needles. Which hey. Sounds like something kind of crazy.
So transgendered feelings.
Blood needles.
The best place I can say is start with a professional psych, who one of the ones that are addressing this particular, I don't know what the term is.
Malfunction? As in, what's your malfunction? No, okay, no.
That's the disrespectful term. The
condition?
Condition. There are clinics and help sources out there to help you address this and find out if it's something that you need to address. There's also different degrees of how far you take it in real life. Some people go through hormones and transition, as in they go through the full surgery. And some are content with how their friends address them, treat them, consider them. It's really how far your degree of, I think it's dysmorphia is the term, goes. And what you're willing to do to address this level of comfort. So I would just look in the trans community. There's a bunch of it out there. And if that's what you find comfortable and you would prefer to be a female, then, you know, that's... You've got to look inside and look at the resources and figure out if that's something you want to do.
And another thing I'm going to throw on there is that I wouldn't let your fear of blood needles... That's a whole separate issue from... being transgendered. So, like, decide what you want to do with the transgendered first. But the fear of blood needles is, I mean, that's a very common thing. But in your life, at some point, you're going to encounter this. You're going to have a blood test for something. You're going to have a medical condition come up. You're going to have your wisdom teeth out and they have to knock you out with an injection for that. Most people will just kind of look away or something, you know, sometimes run something through their heads to kind of keep their mind off of it, things like that. And
or they'll give you something like a low dose of Valium ahead of time to settle your nerves.
Yeah. Or Xanax or something like that. Like I usually take a Xanax before going to the dentist. So that's like a separate issue. And it's not going to be, it shouldn't be a major stumbling block if you decide to ever have sexual reassignment surgery or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to like having a female persona, I mean, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't exactly immediately go towards the trans aspect.
Yeah, it also depends on...
I mean...
Because it also depends whether you're fine with being a male, you just like being effeminate. Because there's a lot of folks that like cross-dressing or they feel more comfortable in female clothes or female lingerie, but they don't necessarily want to become female in body. And that's a different thing. So you kind of have to figure out where you are on that spectrum of, like you said, dysmorphia.
Yes.
You know, whether it's just something that you feel comfortable dressing that way or whether you actually want surgery or hormones and so forth.
There's a wide variety of possibilities in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think we've actually had that exact question come up before, so.
Yep.
All right, next.
Oh, this is an interesting follow-up.
Okay.
Okay. So, an unconventional follow-up, but it's not about conventions. Last week, a listener wrote in asking for advice regarding, well, me. Your responses were somewhat mixed, with the overall tone that you lacked information regarding my potential pedophilia and advised caution in putting his foot down about the issue. To get the question out of the way, I do not consider myself a pedophile. While events in my now distant past disincline me towards being squicked by the notion of underage sex, I have no particular sexual attraction to children, do not pursue any such liaisons, would not do so even if I were sexually attracted to kids, and have explained my position to the writer, the email writer. In fact, it was doing so again and letting him know about those events that led him to draw my attention to the episode where it was read. As I'm currently listening my way through the iTunes archives of the show, and am on episode 56, so yes, I was a derp with regards to this particular piece of work.
Oh shit, how topical.
And then the aside is something that he prefers is not read on the air, so I'm going to skip the middle section. And hopefully I can read the last part. All right. My issue is that because of this, there is a great deal of strain on both me and a relationship that the math involved is exasperating, especially considering the distances and the third person's apparent resistance to risk-taking. In light of this, I was wanting to ask if anything has changed your advice, what I can do, if anything, to hold up my end of making things okay again. He and I both value your opinions and advice, and I really want to hear, as I'm sort of at the end of my rope as it is. Hopefully, understandably, unnamed anonymous.
Let's say so.
So that goes back a couple weeks for us in real time.
Well, it's a week.
Okay.
About.
So I remembered a guy wrote in and he had the thing with this guy that he was worried about. Who was the third person again? Do you guys remember?
The person, like a long distance third party.
Who talked to his other mate, this guy, into getting some art with underage characters done.
Yeah.
At which point the writer feared that he was a pedophile. He crossed into the squick slash nope zone.
Yeah.
And wondered that it was also real life, at which point this guy wrote back and basically said, no, this isn't.
So, well, I mean, you've talked it out with him, which is probably the smartest thing to do. And as for the third party guy who's long distance and whatever, I'm just trying to remember from the email, if he's not going to be not willing to take the risk to come out to see you or you not see him, or whatever the situation may be, then it may be that this person's probably not the best fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can remain an online thing, but trying to keep it real or make it real life may be too much of a hassle to be worth it. Because, I mean, part of the whole online thing is making calculated risks. And if he's unwilling to do that, it's kind of hard for things to progress anyway.
Yeah. Let's see.
But as for making bad art decisions, well, it happens, I guess. But I guess it falls to your partner that, you know, maybe you should avoid that in the future.
Or at least...
Just saying.
Ask. Hey, I don't know. It comes down to communications, and it sounds like you've pretty much have laid out in here that it's not your thing. And hopefully us reading it out will more voices repeating the same thing will help reassure your partner that, no, this isn't a thing for you. So I hope you guys can bring everything back together again and relieve the strain. And if this was a minor thing over art and it's not a real life concern, it would be kind of a really silly thing to break up over. So think about that. Mm-hmm. If it is just a piece of art and it's not a link of pedophilia, do you really want to let this eat out and eat?
I was going to say, normally letting things eat out is pretty good.
Eat and destroy the relationship. Because if it's just a piece of art, that would be silly.
It's like Skittles.
Say, nice art.
Nom, 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 nom.
So, there we go. Next email. So, you read that last one.
Yes.
My turn. No, I read that one. So, it's your turn.
I pointed at you, Fuzz. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
If you're watching on the 1080p, you can clearly see that I pointed at Fuzz.
My bad.
So, this one is, I am free!
Yay!
Hey everyone, it's Raven again. See episode 184, I think, for reference. First things first. To Fuzzwolf, may I say the bow ties are indeed awesome.
Awesome.
Now to the real story. Around this time last year, I was asking for advice to get my family to see that furries are awesome and not detrimental to my being, as they had said. Well, they weren't convinced, but it's okay, because one day in March, I accidentally stepped on the foot of my brother's favorite dog, and he punched me in the face because of it. I grew a macro pear and kicked his sorry ass. I then proceeded to tell him to shut the fuck up, and I got the fuck out. I bought a one-way ticket back to Oklahoma via Greyhound, and now super happy that Raven the Wolf can now spread his wings and fly free like he was always meant to. Fuck my brother and his demon wife. I can survive without their controlling claws digging into my back. I totally love you guys, and keep up the good work.
Good to hear.
And Anonymous... like... Wait, Raven. Like, did he list his name? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anonymous.
No. Anonymous person who said their name at the start of the email. Woo! Who is it?
Okay, here's kind of a fun one. New to being a furry.
Mm.
So I just started being a furry and I'm just overwhelmed. You may want to go over some basic terms and concepts. Thanks. Vlad the Nerf Neko. Okay.
What the fuck's a Neko?
Cat.
It's cat.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Nerf is like Nerf gun loving. I don't know.
Or he's a cat that's made of the Nerf material.
Maybe.
So he gets shot out of guns.
He's got like a little suction cup paws.
It's like a whole other fetish altogether. So, what furry terms we discuss?
Yiff.
Yiff. Oh, yeah. I thought that was adorable.
So, yiff is kind of a term for fucking. If you yiff someone, you fuck them.
Usually in the ass.
Usually. What other terms?
So like 20 years into furry fandom, and all you can think of is yiff.
Okay, so you have
it's
your
the most predominant term, yiff.
It's one of those things that now in the modern age, a lot of it is homogenized, and most fandom terms are fairly uniform across fandoms.
Mm.
You know, everyone has their fursona, which is their furry character.
Yeah.
They've decided kind of the it avatar. Represents them. You know, people don't really TS anymore, because that's an acronym for tiny sex, which is basically it's type fucking. But it used to have a name that people knew what it meant. And now if you say the acronym, people go, what?
What's TSing?
I'm trying to think of really, like, unique to furry. I mean, yeah, there's yiff and mer and scritch and... You know, the various herf-a-derf.
So actually explain those, Severin. So
like,
well, mer is just a sexy noise. Sound.
It's, generic pleasure sound.
It's usually used more in jest. Mm-hmm. And then yaff is like the really silly version of yiff, where you're just like, yaff, 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 yaff.
Yaff, yaff.
Or it's what a noise a fox makes.
Yes.
Like you.
Scritch is just to back scratch somebody. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Fur pile is usually a bunch of people cuddling, sometimes in fursuits.
Not fur always. Pile like on CSI.
Yeah, that's a bad example of it.
Let's see.
A fur meet is a gathering. Usually, you know, people go out, grab food, or it could be at a park.
There's a fur cons and fur,
FurCon is a convention where furries go and do stuff like
costuming and buy art and commission art and drink hang and out. Have parties. And
yeah.
Listen to people talk.
Lots and lots of socializing. What other generic terms?
Fursuit.
Fursuit's a costume. The
custom mascot first costumes.
Yeah. It's some kind of faggotry.
That's Fuzzle's official opinion.
The whole fandom, yes. It's some kind of faggotry.
There's really not a lot of terms you need to know that are, like, unique to the fandom.
If you've got ones that you're wondering about, go ahead and ask us, and we can try and clarify.
Yeah, and there's also, like, sites like Wikifur are good for...
Like, if you would like to know what a word means in the furry community, you can just Wikifur that shit.
It's a website. You can Google it.
I wonder if there is a Wikifur common, like, furry terms.
Well, there probably is.
Let's go to the map. God damn it. This browser is a pain in the ass.
Let's go live to the videotape.
Furry terms. Let's see what happens. Actually, category, terms, Wikifur, the furry encyclopedia. So, acronyms, actions, anatomy terms, art terms, derogatory terms, event terms, Furcadia terms, first speech terms, fursuit terms, mature terms, multiplayer word terms, plushie terms, relationship terms, sounds, term stubs. Let's see. Furdar, furry animal fandom. Persecution.
Ugh, that's when you're...
Furspiracy. There's a fun word.
I haven't heard of that before.
Golden Age of Furry Fandom. What? Couch Tour. Dark Fur.
These are not common furry terms.
I know. Fleshy. Monolithic Anti-Furry Conspiracy.
What the hell?
Mersona.
Is that one that where you TS?
Wolfaboo.
What?
I'm going to click that one.
What's Wolfaboo?
Is that like a weeaboo, a wolf? Yes.
Wolfaboo is a term for someone who is overly obsessed with wolves. Wolfaboo comes from the word weeaboo, meaning someone who is overly obsessed with Japan. Stereotypical wolfaboos believe the life of a wolf is greater or equal to the life of a human, and often defend or even glorify wolves killing humans, often with such arguments as, that person probably deserved it. They're also known to commonly misspell the plural of wolf. Instead of wolves, they type wolves. The term is often used to describe furries, especially those whose fursonas are sparkle dogs. They're often looked down upon by Therians for making them look bad. Thanks, Wikifur. Let's see.
Wolfaboos.
Rabbits in waistcoats is a phrase. A ruiner. Let's see. Rabbits in waistcoats is a... Huh.
What's that?
Rabbits in waistcoats is a semi-derogatory term used to describe the genre of anthropomorphic stories with civilized animals, relatively normal-looking beasts that talk and wear clothing, yet at the same time live in their animal ecosystems, have eaten houses, and are subject to predation.
Oh, so kind of like, you know, the white rabbit
Wind
from...
in the Willows, Miss Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, Redwall, Fantastic Mr. Fox, etc.
Oh, I can see it.
This is anthropomorphophobia. Wait. Anthropomorphophobia.
Fear of anthropomorphics?
Is a fear of acknowledging non-human qualities you wish to consider only human. It's traditionally associated with anxiety responses to anthropomorphic animal characters displaying human behavior in works of fiction like Secret of Nim. Uh-huh. Man, Wikifur, I'm learning all kinds of shit that I didn't need to know. Wait. Islam is a term.
What?
Yes, listen under the term. What the fuck?
I don't even anymore.
This item may not be appropriate for inclusion in Wikifur in this form. Yeah, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a furry term. So, yeah. Sparkle dogs.
which are usually very brightly colored canines.
So, usually sparkle dog, also known as a sparkle, is a term for a furry character, generally non-anthro, with unusual hairstyle and fur colors or patterns, including rainbows. The term sparkle dog may also be applied to other non-canine species. Non-canine sparkles are often referred to as sparkle animals. The term is often used in a dismissive, semi-derogatory sense, but can also be used affectionately by people describing characters or personas. Furries with sparkle dog personas are sometimes labeled wolfaboos.
Think about like a bright red dog with like purple stars on its ass, and
yes,
you get like an idea of a sparkle dog.
Common furry terms.
Appearance.
Faggotry.
Sparkle dogs are often depicted with accessories and decoration, including piercings, tattoos, dyed hair, and jewelry. A 2008 image by Raspberry Maggot depicts a colorful character surrounded by accessories saying, "I have no thumbs." Sparkle dogs tend to be looked down upon, possibly due to an ED article about them. Varieties. Scene dogs are hipper than sparkle dogs, while a fact of DeviantArt group for gloom dogs stated, "Gloom dogs are not the same as scene dogs or sparkle dogs. Some may be seen, and yes, they are categorized as sparkle dogs, but they cannot be insane colors, unlike other sparklers."
They cannot be in what colors?
Cannot be insane colors.
So they can be black with, like, stars tattooed on their ass.
I don't know. It's just... So if you would like to learn more about the magical wide world of furries, from a somewhat cynical point of view, so maybe not the best, go to Wikifur and look up the category of just terms. And the furry fandom has a whole bunch of them, and you can find out about all sorts of things. I'm going to take a quick detour and look what golden age of the furry fandom.
I've got to guess that that's probably like the early 2000s.
I'm going to guess that that is the made-up bullshit time that the old anti-porn bitchy people think existed at some point but never actually existed.
Ding, 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 ding.
Fuck yes.
The golden age of furry fandom, also known as the golden age of furrydom, the golden era of furrydom, another variation of the term the Renaissance, with a burned fur term only, is a phrase first seen in furry BBSs around 1993, gaining more common usage in the late 90s and used to describe a purer, with quotation marks, time in the history of furry fandom, where adult material or fringe groups, zoofowls, beastlies, plushies, lifestyle, etc., had yet to appear, ending this time period when they finally did so. Initially used by people that had become disenfranchised with the problem of adult furry aren't present in the fandom, it was later co-opted by groups such as TBOF, SOF, and the Burned Furs. I don't know what those are, I'll click them in a minute. Other furries would use it as a mocking counter-argument against those laid-out opinions and arguments. Especially with the turn of the millennium, this term has fallen into disuse in recent years. There was an alt-fan furry thing probably back in 1983 called A Golden Age Before the Splooge.
And back in 83?
Well, no, 93. But okay. It's groups.google.com.
Is the splooge like the smooze?
No one stops the splooge. Blart. Come on. Okay. This was posted on alt-fan furry... Jesus.
Before I was born...
Wow. Well, let's see. Happily awaiting conference 10.
That was probably like 90 then.
Oh God.
Yeah, it doesn't have an actual. Wait, no, it does.
Okay, so apparently Tumblr likes to crash Safari on an iPad.
Oh, okay. So this one's from 3/30/99.
Wow.
Because they probably don't have Usenet logs that go back that far. And someone are saying back in 1999, there was never a golden age of the fandom. What the fuck are you smoking? So, yeah, go to Wikifur and look up the terms. I'm going to have fun here.
And just
here.
Wander through the articles, too.
Yeah. Balloony.
Guess a furry who's a balloon character.
Dark fur.
Yeah, what's dark fur?
They're the UK counterparts to goth furs. The dark fur culture is considerably similar to the goth fur subculture, the main difference being the name and location. Both cultures combine furry fandom and the goth subculture to create gothic furry characters. Or, they're 15-year-old DeviantArt users. Let's see. Monolithic anti-furry conspiracy.
Is it dumb?
Yeah. The monolithic anti-furry conspiracy, coined in 2005 by RailFoxen, is one of a handful of fake terms attributed to the furry fandom and actually coined by anti-furry groups and or members. Group and its, quote, goals, the monolithic anti-furry conspiracy term portrays in description of a mythical anti-furry conglomerate composed originally of something awful, Crush of Destroy, and the Eat All Furries groups. Portal of Evil would end up replacing EAF upon its disbandment, whose intended purpose was the dedicated and organized mocking and trolling of the furry culture as a single powerful entity. See also Furry McCarthyism and Furspiracy.
Let's move on, what's because saddest? This is getting silly.
But Furry McCarthyism doesn't have an article. We have to make an article! Are you or were you ever an anime fan? You'll never get in this town again.
Wow. Furry apologist.
She even reading email quick.
Also known as a furry nihilist.
I'm going to take another one because that one was, yeah. Okay. When is the time right for 2:15? When it is okay for people to sex each other after they meet? I'm kind of old school. I say third date. By third date, you should have a decent idea of the person. Said person should have earned a certain amount of trust by then and passed a few I'm not crazy tests as well. Furthermore, if things do go bad in the bedroom, then you can at least use that as a gauge as to whether or not you want to pursue date number 4, 5, 6 with a person. Sex isn't everything, but as a person who has had to live with that for most of his life, well, being able to click in the bedroom is very important.
I found her new icon post.
Then again, I have to confess that I don't follow my own advice very well. I never do, honestly. I've had a number of first date bedroom romps. Ironically, these have turned out to be some of my best friends as the years go by. More proof that it's not an exact science, I guess. Or maybe I'm just lucky in other ways. Breaking all the rules. Tiptoe. The rat.
The rat.
Otaku-ken. Wait.
So, yeah.
Holy shit, I did not know that the Furluminati has a website.
Really?
Yeah, there's somebody's got furluminati.com.
Nice.
I don't know what it is, but
clearly if you click on it, they'll...
Well, it's a forum of some kind.
Nice. But they don't know that they're not the true Illuminati. That's other people.
All right, somebody else read one.
So yes, there is the answer to when should you give them the D? So, Fuzz.
Okay.
You want to break after this one?
Yeah. Okay, so it's archive the ones that are red due to being a furry. That one's been red. This one prefers not to be read on air. So, when to start poking. Have we read this one?
Nope.
Okay. When to start poking. I don't know what accent that was.
Och.
Hey, Dotcasters. It's been a while since I wrote in, so here we go. As with anything else, this topic varies from person to person. I have heard of people who pretty much are balls deep 10 minutes afterwards, and then those who wait years before doing anything. Personally, if I were meeting someone to be a possible sexual partner, I would get to know them first. Meet up a few times and learn what sort of stuff they like to do, and if we find we don't click, we could still remain friends. This way we avoid the stick your dick in crazy syndrome. Though if we do decide to play early, condoms are your best friends. Cheap, ready to use, and cleaner than messy lube can be used wherever the heat of passion takes you. Plus, better to spend 2 minutes wrestling with or find a condom than 18 years of caring for a child or a lifetime with an STB. STD. Be safe and have fun. The Fox from Mississippi, Shade.
Let's see.
So, yeah, good advice on the condoms.
Shiva, you should find an item from adamandeve.com. Something and we will be right back.
After these commercial messages.
Sorry.
Good night and big balls.
No, no, not quite. That was Rules of Nature from the Metal Gear Solid Metal Gear Rising Revengeance soundtrack.
Revengeance.
Revengeance.
Such a funny made-up word.
That game is so fucking crazy.
Is it revenge or vengeance?
Revengeance.
It's both. It's revengeance.
Yes. It's like they're getting back at them again, those fuckers.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we have something from Adam and Eve.
Okay. All right.
This week we're going to go a little bit more pricey than usual, but you know, we got that thing called a coupon code, and it helps. And we're doing something inspired by Kyo, no less, because it's very purple.
Oh, of course.
Oh.
It's Royal Rabbit Vibrator Kit. It's $44.95, and it's a set. So it comes with a central vibe. It also has three sleeves. One is knobbly. One is semi-realistic dong, if it's purple, and I imagine belongs to Kyo. And the other one is a sleeve with a rabbit attachment for... If you're a girl, then you'll enjoy that.
It's a live rabbit struggling to escape.
Also has like a ring that goes over it. It's got some Benoit balls and it's got anal beads. So it is quite the kit.
It's got something for every orifice.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's got quite a few. I think it's got 133 reviews, a 4-star review, average out of all that, and... let's see, it's got 39 5-star reviews, 54 4-star reviews, a couple threes, a handful of 2 and 1s to, of course, bring down the average. A lot of people are talking about it, a lot of happy. It's purple, it's jelly. It takes 2C batteries, which you have to get separately, of course. Let's see, a couple comments is that they really enjoy it. The only problem is the sleeves can be hard to get on and off, so make sure they recommended using actual lube to help get the sleeves on and off. That's been about the biggest complaint that I've seen in here, but other than that, the vibe has a very nice pulse, and it's really good for the price. Well, when the price comes around, like I said, the stock price is $44.95. It has like $8 shipping. But we've got that coupon code. It's a handy-dandy thing. It's K-N-O-T. And if you put it in, it takes 50% off the price, so you get a vibe and a whole bunch of goodies. And it comes down to $22.48. And also, courtesy of the coupon code, you also get free shipping. So you knock $8 off the shipping, half off the price of the kit, and you get lots of buzz for only a couple bucks. So
sounds pretty good.
I thought so. I saw that and was like, huh, I wonder if that our coupon code works on that plug-in. And why, yes. Yes, it does. So I found our buzz.
There's a perfect example of a picture that looks better in black and white because the colors of the commissioner's character are fucking retarded. Sorry, browsing FA.
Yeah.
Don't describe the character or anything. I don't want anyone to know we're ragging on him, but there's a line art version of this drawing.
That's a lot better.
But that's the...
Yeah, line art's better.
That's very brightly
what
colored.
What the fuck? Anyways, next term of the moment, Hiroshima Clue Hammer.
What? That's when you clue hammer someone hard?
Yes, that is the furry term. The term Hiroshima Clue Hammer alludes to a hypothetical, inevitable event so detrimental to furry fandom and its reputation that it would finally wake people up to what idiots they've been for the things they've allowed and tolerated in the fandom. It was coined by Richard Chandler, an alt-fan furry, announcing his departure from the fandom in 2001. I'm sorry, everybody. The furry fandom has been dead since 2001.
Oh, fuck.
I just didn't know.
I'll have to find real friends now.
Oh, man. Get the fuck out of my house. Who are you? Skunk fucker.
I could read about bitter old crybabies that are upset that their fandom outgrew them, like, all night long and just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Oh,
and I don't know if I ever shared this on the show, but the irony of this I love. Well, not irony. I guess it's more just... hypocrisy. The person that wrote the Burned Fur Manifesto started a Kickstarter for her porn comic.
What?
You go, girl. You
We're
go.
We're going to just move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is webcomics. Subject, webcomics. Hey there, Nautcast. Rio again. Writing in to offer some webcomics I enjoyed for the emailer last week and anyone else interested. The list is as followed. Gunnerkrieg Court, a sci-fantasy adventure following Antimony Carver's adventures in the mysterious boarding school of Gunnerkrieg. Furry interests include several canine spirits that the story revolves around. It is cute, fun, witty, and simply a great read. It is ongoing. DMFA, starting as a Furcadia Best webcomic, this one has evolved into its own mystical world with decades worth of story and pages. PG, but cleverly so.
I like DMFA.
That was the Miss Mab, I think it is?
Yep, Dan and Mab's Furry Adventures.
That's right.
Oh, I thought it was Dump Motherfucker already.
No, that's DTMFA.
No.
Ogloff.
Admittedly, oh, God, I love Ogloff.
Very funny, but some of the best sex humor on the web. Oh, prequel.
That's O-G-L-A-F, and it is fucking hilarious.
Yes, it really is. Did you see, there was that one, it's like, you have awoken my terrible curse. What? You are now the world's best at blowjobs. Not the second best, but the absolute best. But I don't like giving blowjobs. And squander your talents. And then later on, the guys at the bar, you know, I'm a world champion. At what? And the guy kind of has this look on his face. Like, oh, shit. Yeah, check it out, Ogloff. It's really funny. Lots of dicks, lots of fucking, very funny and weird. And Adventure, or Prequel Adventure, a fan comic based on the Elder Scrolls Oblivion. Prequel follows the new adventures of the Katja Manigan and her adorable tear-inducing attempts at a new life. Striking good balance between silliness and the occasional serious moment, the story starts off a bit like Homestuck, but without being a chore to get through and nowhere near as many pages. Note, best read on a PC to experience the cool webpage scripting and the blends perfectly with the narrative. Hope you enjoy the comics. Rio de Panther, :3. So, yeah.
I love how people spell out :3.
Instead
of just doing :3.
Maybe just 3 colons.
I bet you can take a lot of dicks then.
Sounds like he's full of shit.
3 colons, but only 1 anus, sadly.
So, there you go. Webcomics. We were helping.
Well, as much as we ever do. Okay, I think it's... Is it Fuzz's turn?
I don't think I've read one in a long time.
You go.
I think we somehow accidentally skipped me. That's okay. Okay. Differences and a realization. I recently realized that one of the biggest problems with society is one that you guys cover almost every show. It is, dun-dun-dun, the separation of lust and love. It is everywhere. TV, music, especially new music, the neighbors, advertisements, movies, families, art.
Her.
Huh?
The insert joke,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I was going to skip that.
Oh,
because it's obligatory and I'm a fucking rebel. Art. Everywhere.
Such a hipster.
I'll admit I have a bit of a problem with this. Okay, I have a major problem with this, but I'm not jealous. It just seems there is a cock-shaped keyhole where my asshole should be, and it opens my emotions.
So how do you guys...
So how do you learn to separate love and lust? Should I stop dating? Should I stop having sex? Should I go to a surgeon / locksmith? The second part of this email is a lot shorter. I recently changed my fursona from a wolf to a bunny because I thought a bunny fit me better. Apparently other furs now think I fit them better, or rather certain parts of them. Her. I've gotten more messages and propositions in the first 2 months of being a bunny than I did the entire 2 years time that I've been in the fandom. Why? Learning knots they didn't teach in Boy Scouts, Legion Bunny.
So the separation of love and lust is pretty simple, at least in my head. Do you want to fuck them? Yes, that could be either one. Do you want to fuck them and then possibly pursue a relationship with them?
So, I mean, I can love someone, and it's hard for me not to have a little bit of lust after them. But I can, there's people I can fuck, and I have to like them as a friend, but I'm not going to be in love with them per se. But some people, and it kind of goes, I think, Some people have a lot of ability, and I don't use this lightly, to love, to form attachments to people. It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, it's just the way you're wired. And you just have to acknowledge that, hey, you wear your heart on your sleeve, and you're prone to forming love and attachments and emotional connections with people. That's, you know, it happens. So, I mean, do you need to separate the two? Maybe. But you don't have to. Of course, this is the poly person, you know, speaking, who's prone to forming connections.
For me, God, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of comes naturally, really. Well, it's like late. I mean, for the last 10 years, it's been really easy. 11 years. Because I've got a mate already, and I'm not poly in the romance department. I only want to be in love with one person. So pretty much everybody else is lust. And even if I get like a crush on somebody, it's only ever going to be lust. I'm not going to pursue that as a relationship or anything like that, you know, but I have friends and we fuck around occasionally, and it's not more than that. I don't know. It's always kind of been fairly simple for me. If I was dating somebody already, then I didn't have the love feelings, you know?
There's also different degrees of love. There's the kind where I want to wake up next to this person every morning. I want to build my life with them. I care about them deeply and their happiness. And it's a point where you invest part of yourself into ensuring that their life goes forward, and you want to deeply entwine your life with them. That's one kind of love. Then there's the kind of love that you might feel for a very close friend. I'm talking, this is a person that you would do anything for. Like, they need a place to stay, a shoulder to cry on. You don't necessarily want to live with them and entwine finances and grow old together. But if they're in a hard time, you would do anything for them. Then there's the friends that you love, where you would still reach out and you'd be the, you know, the shoulder to cry on, and you want good things for them. Yeah, you know, there's a whole, I mean, love isn't just one, it's one word for a variety of different emotional connections that you make to people. So it really depends on what degree of love you're talking about. I mean, are you wanting to basically fall into form lifelong attachments with anyone you fuck? That can be kind of painful. If you, you know, form an emotional investment and, you know, you want to at least make sure that you stay in contact, they mean a lot to you. If you have too many of these, they can get, you can get pulled in many different directions. But it's perfectly okay to form friendships and attachments to people you have sex with. And in fact, I think it's kind of healthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you might as well just fuck a fleshlight if you don't feel anything for the person that you're having sex
or
with.
Or go out and pay a hooker or something else. I mean,
yeah,
that's when you, what was the term I heard the other day? If it was something where if you don't feel something for your partner, you're basically using their body to masturbate, you know? So.
Which, you know, if you have a couple people that only want to get off, you know, I guess there's something really wrong with that.
That
just
can be fun once in a great while.
My personal feeling on the matter is that I have to at least like the person that I'm fucking with. And, you know, another kind of love is the love of the feeling of your body around my cock. That's a wolf kind of love.
Yes.
So.
So, yeah. There's that.
All right, so who was it? I think it's my turn.
Yeah.
So we got three emails left.
Okay.
So one for each of us. All right. Hey, casters, let's see if I can start on topic. How soon is too soon? That might be the question in the situation. When I met this guy, I have not only never been laid, I'd never been in a relationship. So talking with some friends, the fact that we made it a week before we became intimate wasn't surprising. Now that I've been with him for me, I need to know a person well enough to know I like time on some level or another before I'm willing to get in bed sexually with them. I have a few friends I've talked to with long enough and know well enough that I could see sleeping with them if I had my boyfriend's permission, but only then. But for others, I think it's going to depend on different people. For some individuals, it'll be hours, others months. Now, I also have a few questions that have been brewing a while, one mechanical and one opinion-based. Let's start out with the mechanical question. So, my boyfriend and I have been together for about 2.5 years, and in that time, I've topped him a few times, and you can count them on 2 hands. We've been sexually active for about all that time. When we first tried to have sex with me topping, I was too big for him, and or he couldn't relax enough. Years later, we have finally figured out how to get him relaxed enough to get me in. Yay there, now the issue. So, the past 2 times I've topped, I haven't been able to finish. It isn't that I get soft, but I just don't get stimulated enough. I think part of my issue might be that I'm uncut. I feel I may not be getting enough stimulation to really get off. Are there any ideas or tips that might make it easier for me? Any help would be wonderful. Now, I have an opinion-based question for the casters. Let's handle the other one first, and then we'll do the second one.
Okay. Well, since you've said it on the podcast, Savern,
what?
You're uncut.
More or less, yeah. I would say just practice makes perfect. You know, you've not had a lot of experience topping, and, I mean, it really is a practice thing, you know. Okay, here's, like, an oddball suggestion, you know. When you stick it in your boyfriend, you can kind of get the, you know, general tightness, right? I would say you could probably try masturbating with about that tight around your dick and maybe get used to that level of sensation as the skin moves over the shaft and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So you think he might be doing the what Dan Savage calls the death grip when he's masturbating?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah. I mean,
because it makes anything not as tight as your clenched fist seem like it's not, you know, really stimulating.
As a very experienced masturbator, I can use 2 fingers and get off. Just saying. So, I mean, it is a practice thing. You need to get good at it.
You need to lighten up.
Because
I've had guys where you've had to apply a good amount of pressure to get them off. And others, you know, light. And when I ask them to show me how they masturbated, like, usually the ones are like, they put a lot
white knuckle grips,
or they're using, or
their
they
dicks
do it,
turn purple,
or they do it dry. So they need the friction feeling. And so, as opposed to using a lube sensation.
See, I'm lucky enough that even though I am circumcised, it was such a minimal cut that I have,
it basically doesn't count.
And so I don't have a lot, that problem that a lot of other people do. So,
yeah, but I'm cut and I can jack dry.
Yeah.
Although it does feel better because I get more stimulation on the head if I'm using lubricant.
I don't even need that.
So
I'm lucky.
Yeah.
There are many different ways I can jerk off depending on how I want to come. You know, sometimes you just get tired. You know, you're
or
not
overstimulated.
Yeah, and you're not necessarily going to be able to crest that peak while you're topping your partner. And you know, you definitely practice at it. It builds up your stamina, and you know,
or lowers it depending.
Or lowers it, gets you used to the sensations. There's also nothing wrong with pulling out, pulling off the condom, yeah, and coming on his back.
Yeah,
you know, just jerking it on him. Okay, I thought you were saying that facetiously, but I'm totally like, dude, you totally whip it out and
come on his back.
Come on his back. Yeah.
or what's the thing for gay faking it? A couple quarts of warm yogurt.
A skirt bottle filled with mayonnaise. Just cover.
Ready whip. Just start spraying ready whip.
Oh. And it's like, honey, what's that noise? You start making smiley faces, putting on cherries, and breakfast is done.
Making pancakes. Wait, what?
Just
no, stomach pancakes.
Yeah, making stomach pancakes.
With whipped cream topping. So,
yeah, oh, that's because this whole scenario is just going further and further down the hill for me. Where you're just like, oh, and then, you know, you there's the mayonnaise, and then the ready whip, and then the cherries, and then there's bacon strips. And just and I just see this image of the guy's strips. Back and just all this random shit.
And he's like, falling. What the fuck happened? I really had a... That was a weird orgasm. Sorry.
Yeah. You know that, like that commercial with the Skittles flying everywhere.
Oh yeah.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It was a band commercial.
Oh, okay.
So don't listen to us.
Well, no, do listen to our sincere advice.
And then just a fistful of Crisco, and it slides off the back. And
so you can listen to us about up until about where we suggest. Pulling out, masturbating, coming on his back. After that, we just get silly. Moving on to the next question.
Did you hear that terrible story about the guy that got a job as a gas station attendant at a full-service gas station?
No.
Well, the problem was that he had worked in porn before getting the job. So whenever he was close to filling up the gas tank, he would pull it out and spray it all over the trunk.
Oh! Now I have an opinion question for the casters. What's the difference between having sex, fucking, and making love? I can see the first two being the same, but making love and having sex sound emotionally different to me. But part of my, I think it's semantics. I'm more wondering about the other's permission. Thanks, guys. I'll look forward to hearing your responses.
So the first completely sexist and non-serious response is making love is what your girlfriend is doing when you're fucking her.
Well,
that's a Hallmark card right there.
Yeah.
It's semantics to me. Is this whatever you prefer to call it? It also, it could, it's like sometimes I'm fucking my mate, sometimes we're making love, I guess. If it's
also,
I don't know.
As for me, it's also about what brackets either side of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's pretty much you just kind of tumble into bed. Go at it hard and fast, then somebody stands up and you're done. That's kind of...
That's fucking.
That's fucking. Mm-hmm. Or having sex. Making love is when you generally, before and after, there's a lot more laughing. There's a lot more goofing around. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe it starts up a little slower, but after you're done, usually...
There's cum everywhere.
Well, one, there's cum everywhere. And but Crisco. Two, usually it devolves bacon. Into, you know...
Syrup.
I don't know. Devolves into
syrup.
Into talking. And this isn't just something you necessarily do with your mate. Mm-hmm. If you've got... It usually involves that there's a lot... there's love involved. Like, actual, like, romantic love. Just because you tend to linger with someone that you're involved with rather than somebody that you're meeting up with a con and just knocking their brains out and then going on your way. I don't know. There's a more of an emotional investment in that fucking versus lovemaking.
So I have sex with Tyrion, and then when I'm done, I just kick him off the bed. What would you call that? No.
I call that Tyrion standing up and kicking your ass. That's what I do.
Probably.
You mean like, honey?
I think having sex is the more clinical term. It's almost like saying intercourse.
Yes.
So having sex could describe either of them to me. Mm-hmm. It is completely emotionally devoid. It is just describing the physical action.
Pretty much.
Whether you call it fucking or making love is, I think it's partially, it's a matter of opinion and how you're used to thinking of it. And also situational, depending on who you're doing mm-hmm. it with.
Or even with, like, your mate, sometimes it's just you're doing it partially to get off, mm-hmm. and partially there's more emotional ties involved.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
yeah,
it's so I'm more or less in agreement. I would say that sex is the clinical, casual. Yeah, let's fuck. Okay,
yeah,
fucking is the lustful cock monster.
For a good description of this, listen to the Tenacious D song "Fuck Her Gently."
Yes. And so. Then making love is like gentle relationships.
It doesn't even have to be gentle.
You know what I mean.
Love, yeah. So. Fucking give her some smooches too.
gonna all right, fuck so.
You gently.
I'm gonna ball you. Oh no, we can't sing the whole song on here. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get in trouble.
Whose turn is it to read?
One of you two. I've lost which direction we're going. I just know it's not me.
Right.
Your turn, Fuzz.
I'm trying to tell if we've read this one. Okay, so this is the on-topic and random sex questions. That's the one you just read?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
One up above that.
Okay. I will read eeny, meeny, miny, moe, suck my dick and swallow slow. Okay, I'll read this one. Cock goes when? Dear epic level casters of Notmancy, I'm still working through you guys' early episodes, currently on episode 63, Chark Week.
I liked that episode. That was fun.
But saw the topic and decided to write in again. I'm in an open, three-person, long-distance relationship. You may cringe now, I understand.
I don't think he's met me yet to know that.
And am probably the most sexually expressive of those in it. Though this may change when the long-distance gets axed and leaves us just the R. Relationship, I guess. Okay. For me, I read that wrong. For me, sex is something that requires an emotional connection, or at the very least a good friendship, before I'll seriously put it on the table. I can count the number of partners I've had in the last year on one hand, and all of them are very close to me in one way or another. There have only ever been two instances where I slept with someone before really getting to know them, and both are times I see now as my mistakes, though sleep deprivation likely contributed to the making of them. As for the ideal timing, I prefer to wait until I know a bit about the potential partner's personality, and usually go by the rule, if I wouldn't be embarrassed to admit I was sleeping with this person to my roommates and mates, they're viable.
That's actually a good rule of thumb.
After which, I make sure that they know my situation if it hasn't come up already, and that they understand the difference between friends with benefits and mates. Anyway, that's just my two coppers. Hope you can gather enough to make a gold. Sincerely, Aratan, the newly minted foo doggone.
A foo dog.
Okay. Oh, you know what that is?
A foo dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, you seen outside Chinese restaurants the kind of lion mane, usually statue things? That's a foo dog.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
So that mixed with a dragon.
Was that like the Eddie Murphy voice character in Mulan?
No,
that was a Chinese dragon.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm thinking the wrong thing now. Okay, so it's Savard's turn to read Dear Notcast.
Yep. Last one. Dear Notcast, I recently discovered this podcast and I've started listening from the very first episode. 11 down, 203 to go. Yay. No. Your podcast provides hour of entertainment, and I will say that it's the very first podcast that I enjoy listening to. That'll change. Oh, I'm in a rather complicated relationship between two boys, a dragon shapeshifter, age 21, and a Fioni, a fox lion pony, age 17.
That's a big mix.
Yeah. Both of which are in love with me and are aware of the other. I've both known them for as long as I've been in the fandom, roughly 3 years.
That's a foo dog.
Oh. Okay.
It's kind of the lion dogs that you see outside of Chinese.
Huh, okay. Interesting.
You kill a lot of them in WoW.
Yeah, but they've been outside of... Anywho, yeah.
The Fioni, I'll just refer to him as a lion for reference's sake, and I have been an off and on relationship in the past and much become official mates in an open relationship since I don't know when, and whom I love very much. The dragon and I are close friends with benefits as far as online interactions go, whom I cared for and have been going through a rough time. The problem is such between the two furs, I truly love lion, who lives all the way across in England, more so than dragon, who I care for and pitied and lives a short distance away across the border in the U.S., I've been thinking about the idea of a threesome relationship so I don't have to choose between them and break up one or the other. Up to this point, something the three are aware of. It is recently that I discovered Dragon attempted suicide again, and is hospitalized without informing me and or his only other friend, let's call her Sam. Lion decided that I should meet up with Dragon as well when he can contact us again, maybe in an attempt to keep him going. It is then I have a strange feeling I can't describe that's telling me not to go through with it, even though my mind agrees that it's likely the best possible solution. Sam suggests me not go through with it, as it will be put me in a position to be brought down with him and cause dragon guilt from being pitied. Overall, I guess I should have a third-party opinion from experts as far as I know, and ask you what I should do in the situation. I'm sorry for bothering with this wall of text to bring down the mood. I really need to answer from this. With regards from Canada, Felix Firefox. Or...
which is the situation.
You should never mate with someone out of pity.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. No, no pity fucking and no pity relationshiping.
If you love them, then love them. But don't pity them. That's not a... Be there as a friend.
That kind of sacrificial relationship can and will bring up resentment.
Yeah.
That will cause trouble in the long run.
Yeah, if you love Dragon, that is completely different. But if it's just doing it because you pity and you feel sorry and you're going to prop them up, don't mate them. Be a good friend. Be by them. Stand by them. But don't, for God's sakes.
You know, you can be your shoulder to cry on, somebody for him to talk to online to talk out his issues. It actually sounds to me, you know, he needs to get some help in real life local to him. If he's attempted suicide, not just once, but previously as well, from the sound of it, and he's only 21, then he definitely needs some help. And I would maybe have Sam, you know, maybe see if they can be pressure him into going and getting some help. Or
maybe talk to Sam and maybe tag team him. I mean, be there, go and spend time with him. You know, see if either of you can basically keep a watch on him. But not mate.
Yeah.
Not mate.
Saren, do you have anything else to add?
I'm really going to go with that. I mean, pity relationships is just not a good thing in the long run.
Yeah.
No. You should be his friend, but...
No.
Don't...
Yeah.
Pity, sacrifice yourself.
So. Yeah. Don't pity the fool.
Because, I mean, again, if you say you really love this lion... Then, you know, love him.
Yeah.
And be a good friend of the dragon. I mean, there's no simple or easy or even very fun answers here. But your best bet is probably to stick with Lion.
The other,
but keep an eye on Dragon and be his friend.
And the other thing is, if Dragon is this emotionally dicey, if you do mate up with him, if you then regret it down the line. And you do eventually break up with Dragon. Or even if you desire to break up Dragon, you're either A, going to do it, and it won't be good for him. Or B, you're going to keep on keeping on with something you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then either he'll find out later and feel horrible, or you're going to be trapped into a relationship you can't leave because you're afraid he's going to kill himself. That's not a good condition to get into a relationship during.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go. Huh. That's...
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So it's been a week. It'll be another week.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Nothing really much coming up. It's just going to be... April's pretty much a boring month, except for not next Friday. Friday after, I won't be on the show. It's my mate's 40th birthday, so I'm going to be, you know, giving him a birthday.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They'll be making love.
So, yeah, the big 4-0.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of his reaction.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got it in, like, what, 3 years?
Yeah, well, not far behind you.
Yeah.
So.
God, it'll be weird being 40.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I have friends that are in their 40s, but it's like, wow, just cross that hump, and then your heart explodes.
Well, as you're getting older, I mean, you start having friends whose parents are having issues, like yourself. You know, mm-hmm. And that whole thing of, holy crap, when I was... Wow, I am turning into my parents, you know, because yeah. You saw them go through it with their parents and their great grandparents. And then I think of like, I'm 35 now. When I was, when mom was this age, we were living there and I was how old? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
that I mentioned that thing at dinner that I saw on Facebook the other day that Ralph Macchio is now the same age that Pat Morita was when they're in the Karate Kid.
Oh, shit.
It's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Old cast. No, I mean, we'll be around for a while, I think.
Hopefully. We're not going to die of old age next week.
I don't think I'll be doing the podcast when I'm like 70. But.
So, yeah, welcome to Notcast episode 772. Our penises stopped working a long time ago, and Shiva got one installed.
That's because I, Hopefully I would have bought another one by then. Wore out the first one.
Well, by the time we're in our 70s, they'll have the technology to add your extra limbs and tail and cock.
So.
And then you could really,
you could really pound that ass.
Yep. Centaur modifications. It totally will happen.
Yes.
Like, you know how there's like our grandparents' generation, they are having a hard time adjusting to technology. Mm-hmm. I keep waiting for, okay, when is something going to come along that so completely brain breaks me that I will have as much problem using as my grandparents do the computer?
Yeah. It's
like, when is there going to be that disconnect where, how do I think?
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that too, because it's like, well, little kids are growing up with the iPhone in their hand already.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're our age, our toys now are fucking kids' play to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're our age, there will be something at that point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I could take like the fucking Shadowrun extrapolation and say when it comes down to like the cranial implants or something like
and
that.
And you cannot brain.
Then that might be the nope for me, you know?
So I'm just waiting because I'm curious. It's like because I can't imagine anything that I can't adapt to such a degree like my grandparents have to computers or email or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see, or maybe just with the way things are, we're used to coming along the technology curve and we'll keep posting it.
I was kind of thinking that myself because like we've grown into this the whole time, so maybe we'll have an easier time of it mm-hmm. than our parents or grandparents would have, but
yeah, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how technology develops because it's the curve of technology development is so exponential that mm-hmm. it's growing so fast so quickly that it'll be really interesting to see what happens in 20-30 years.
Yes. So
on that note, I guess we'll end the show then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, good night.
In big balls.
Is that your old man coming?
Yes.
Okay.
It was sand.
Dust.